Travels in Alaska by John Muir. This book is read by Noah Waterman. Part 1. The Trip of 1879. Chapter 1. Puget Sound and British Columbia. After 11 years of study and exploration in the Sierra Nevada of California and the mountain ranges of the Great Basin, studying in particular their glaciers, forests, and wildlife, above all their ancient glaciers and the influence they exerted in sculpturing the rocks over which they passed with tremendous pressure, making new landscapes, scenery, and beauty, which so mysteriously influence every human being, and to some extent all life, I was anxious to gain some knowledge of the regions to the northward about Puget Sound and Alaska. With this grand object in view, I left San Francisco in May 1879 on the steamer Dakota, without any definite plan, as, with the exception of a few of the Oregon peaks and their forests, all the wild north was new to me. To the mountaineer, a sea voyage is a grand, inspiring, restful change. For forests and plains with their flowers and fruits, we have new scenery, new life of every sort. Water hills and dales in eternal, visible motion for rock waves, types of permanence. It was curious to note how suddenly the eager countenances of the passengers were darkened as soon as the good ship passed through the Golden Gate and began to heave on the waves of the open ocean. The crowded deck was speedily deserted on account of seasickness. It seemed strange that nearly everyone afflicted should be more or less ashamed. Next morning, a strong wind was blowing, and the sea was gray and white, with long breaking waves, across which the Dakota was racing, half buried in spray. Very few of the passengers were on deck to enjoy the wild scenery. Every wave seemed to be making enthusiastic, eager haste to the shore, with long irised tresses streaming from its tops, some of its outer fringes borne away in scud to refresh the wind, all the rolling, pitching, flying water exulting in the beauty of rainbow light. Gulls and albatrosses, strong, glad life in the midst of the stormy beauty, skimmed the waves against the wind, seemingly without effort, oftentimes flying nearly a mile without a single wing beat, gracefully swaying from side to side and tracing the curves of the briny water hills with the finest precision, now and then just grazing the highest. And yonder, glistening amid the irised spray, is a still more striking revelation of warm life in the so-called howling waste. A half-dozen whales, their broad backs like glaciated bosses of granite heaving aloft in near view, spouting lustily, drawing a long breath, and plunging down home in colossal health and comfort. A merry school of porpoises, a square mile of them, suddenly appear, tossing themselves into the air in abounding strength and hilarity, adding foam to the waves and making all the wilderness wilder. One cannot but feel sympathy with and be proud of these brave neighbors, fellow citizens in the commonwealth of the world, making a living like the rest of us. Our good ship also seemed like a thing of life, its great iron heart beating on through calm and storm, a truly noble spectacle. But think of the hearts of these whales, beating warm against the sea, day and night, through dark and light, on and on for centuries. How the red blood must rush and gurgle in and out, bucketfuls, barrelfuls at a beat. The cloud colors of one of the four sunsets enjoyed on the voyage were remarkably pure and rich in tone. There was a well-defined range of cumuli a few degrees above the horizon, and a massive dark-grain rain cloud above it, from which depended long, bent fringes overlapping the lower cumuli and partially veiling them. And from time to time sunbeams poured through narrow openings and painted the exposed bosses and fringes in ripe yellow tones, which, with the reflections on the water, made magnificent pictures. The scenery of the ocean, however sublime in vast expanse, seems far less beautiful to us dry-shod animals than that of the land, seen only in comparatively small patches. But when we contemplate the whole globe as one great dewdrop, striped and dotted with continents and islands, flying through space with other stars all singing and shining together as one, the whole universe appears as an infinite storm of beauty. The California coast hills and cliffs look bare and uninviting as seen from the ship, the magnificent forests keeping well back out of sight beyond the reach of the sea winds. Those of Oregon and Washington are in some places clad with conifers nearly down to the shore. Even the little detached islets, so marked a feature to the northward, are mostly tree-crowned. Up through the straits of Juan de Fuca, the forests, sheltered from the ocean gales and favored with abundant rains, flourish in marvelous luxuriance on the glacier-sculptured mountains of the Olympic.